Hi, you're listening to Talking About Organizations, a podcast about management and organization studies brought to you with the support of the ICON Research Center at the University of Warwick. This is a summary of episode 23, first episode of season 3 on Journal of Management Studies Classics, where we were joined by Mike Wright of Imperial College London to discuss a series of papers on international business, and specifically focusing on his paper with Robert Hoskison, Igor Filatychev, and Mike Peng called Emerging Multinationals from Mid-Range Economies, the Influence of Institutions and Factor Markets. My name is Dimitris, summarizing from Brighton in the United Kingdom. Now, before we get to the summary, there's an announcement that I'd like to make. We have launched our newsletter. This has been a long time coming and we're very excited to bring it to you. It's a weekly newsletter that focuses on the podcast, of course, but also highlights relevant events and other fun stuff. So please do subscribe to that just simply by going to our website, scrolling a little bit down and submitting your email address. We're very excited for this, and thank you for all the so many people who've already subscribed. Right, so before I get to the actual work that we focused our discussion upon, I think it's worth introducing a little bit of context, as this paper is an updated and extended version of the work by the same four people back from 2005. So in that work, in looking at emerging economies, what the authors discovered was that markets are less efficient due to transparency, more extensive information asymmetries, and higher monitoring and enforcement costs, that governments and government-related entities are not only setting the rules, but are active players in the economy. For example, through state-owned or state-controlled firms, and how they influence the local market thus, that network-based behaviors are common, in part as a consequence of the less efficient markets, but arguably also because of the social traditions and all sorts of cultural stuff. And these interact and these influence how firms interact with one another. And finally, that risks and uncertainties are high, and political and economic and institutional variables influence that, especially when they're not stable. So because of that, businesses may find it hard to predict the necessary variables for strategic decision making, such as business cycles, government actions, or the outcomes of legal proceedings. So what these four broad features imply and what they teach us is that a number of assumptions that existing theories on international business are based on are less appropriate for emerging economies. So for example, where the assumption of rational actors optimizing their utility in the presence of full information, well, that is debatable, but more appropriate and likely to play out at least to an extent in developed economies, this is not so in less developed economies, partly because even though people may aim to act rationally, they face more information asymmetries because of all the various institutional and structural challenges that are presented to them by those markets. So as they go about trying to make rational decisions because of the deficiencies of these formal institutions, they are more likely to follow tacit rules and the this is how we do it here principle. So things like that provide a set of very unique challenges for strategy, research, and practice in emerging economies, which is what the authors bring your attention to. So in the paper that was written in 2005, what the authors did, they reviewed the state of research in the field, and they uncovered that there are four approaches to theorizing international business in emerging economies: the transaction cost theory, the agency theory, the resource-based theory, and the institutional theory. A brief recap on what those are. The transaction cost theory is focused on studying the influence of transaction costs. So basically, whether a market hierarchy or hybrid forms are most appropriate governance modes, and which ones are more or less expensive or costly to the organization. The agency theory looks at creating the most appropriate form of governance to ensure that managers act in the interests of owners. The resource-based theory is looking at the influence of firm resources and capabilities, and explains or tries to explain why firms differ and how they achieve and sustain competitive advantage, generally based on research availability. And firms in emerging economies, for instance, may face resource scarcities and obsolescence, where resources that were valuable under a formal regime become less valuable as the market reorientates and emerges. The institutional theory focuses on the role of political, social, and economic systems that surround firms and shape their behavior. If you've studied international business, you may also be familiar with things like varieties of capitalism, so this is right in this corner as well. During the episode, Mike mentioned that when they wrote the 2005 paper, they ventured, I guess, with regards to which of these explanatory frameworks might take up more attention in the future, and they suggested that it might be institutional theory. So during the conversation, Mike mentioned that even though they said that, the institutional theory took off way beyond their expectations between 2005 and not long before 2013, when the latest article was published. And one of the reasons that Mike gave for this is that institutional theory works well to complement other approaches, and that it explains in very rich ways the more social and political and other less tangible, shall we say, aspects of international business. The 2013 work thus builds on these considerations and looks at the variety of development of emerging economies. Specifically, they focus on emerging multinationals from mid-range economies, concluding that it's necessary to look beyond this dichotomy of emerging and developed, and that there is much value in appreciating what lies in between. Taking greater account the finer distinctions between these institutional contexts, especially given differences in institutional development, things like infrastructure and factor market development. In terms of theoretical understanding, they still vouch for institutional theory for the same reasons as I just outlined, that it works well together with other approaches. In terms of contributions, what this paper highlights and what this line of work highlights is that we need to move beyond this notion of developed and developing economies and take a very close look at what's happening in the middle, where the emerging economies reside. They argue that there is a need to consider more fine-grained notions of institutional context and look at varying degrees of institutional development and infrastructure and factor market conditions. They actually present a lovely 2x2 table in the paper where they place a bunch of countries along these variables. So one of the important questions that the paper answers is this conundrum of if there is developed and developing economies, at which point do they transition? So it's not as if overnight a developing economy becomes developed or developed economy relegates to a developing. And this paper looks at the middle ground, the emerging economies, thus to answer this question among many other ones. So if you're into international business and strategy and you'd like to hear from one of the really key figures in the field and listen to his interesting stories and the background behind how this was written and why, do tune in for the full episode. I hope you enjoyed this summary, and I look forward to seeing you next week as we welcome another author of a Journal of Management Studies classic, William Starbuck, to discuss learning in knowledge-intensive firms. You'll also be welcoming a couple of our new hosts, so that's very exciting. See you next week, here on Talking About Organizations.